Omaha Public Radio, KIOS-FM, presents another luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club. Today's speaker, presented in cooperation with the Nebraska Humanities Council Speakers Bureau, will be Omaha actor Daryl Draper, who will portray Peter Sarpy, fur trader, ferry boat operator, newspaper man, and banker, for whom Sarpy County was named. This program was recorded by KIOS-FM on Thursday, September 20th, 2007, for broadcast at this time. The opinions expressed are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of the Omaha Press Club, KIOS-FM, or the Omaha Public School District. Here now to introduce the program is Gary Kerr.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Gary Kerr, chairman of the Omaha Press Club's Education Committee. Once a month, the Press Club sponsors noon forums of interest to our members and the general public. These forums are open to everyone. You do not have to be a Press Club member to attend. We have a history program today that I think that you are all going to enjoy. The program is funded by the Nebraska Humanities Council, a statewide nonprofit organization cultivating an understanding of our history and culture, and the Omaha World Herald. One other note, there is paper and pencil at your tables. Write down any questions of our guests, and those questions will be brought to me to ask from the podium. Our guest today is part of our local history. So here is this person from our past.
Bonjour, monsieur. Bonjour, madame. Permettez-moi de me présenter. Je m'appelle Pierre Abadie Sarpy. At your service. But you are probably better knowing me by my American name, Peter A. Sarpy. The man for whom Sarpy County, Nebraska is named. The man who for 33 years operated the American Fur Company trading post here in the Omaha and Bellevue area. The man who operated the first steam ferry boat between Iowa and Nebraska Territory. The man who established the first bank in Nebraska Territory. The man who circulated the first newspaper in Nebraska Territory. The man who is the first Quartermaster General of the 1st Nebraska Territorial Militia. But you're wondering why a Frenchman is here in Nebraska, huh? Try some. Very simple. I need three volunteers. Un. Deux. Mademoiselle. Mademoiselle here, Monsieur here, Monsieur here, Monsieur make fist, fist, fist. Oh, strong man, this man. Monsieur here, Mademoiselle here, head on hip, eh?
Relax fist.
No. Voila! A map of the United States. 250 years ago, United States, no United at all. Three separate parts. East of Mississippi River are English colonies. Belong to England. They speak English. From the Mississippi River to the Rocky Mountains is Louisiana. Belong to France. They speak French. I, Peter A. Sarpy, I am born in Louisiana. I speak French. From the Rocky Mountains to the Pacific Ocean is claimed by Spain. But in the year 1754, England, France have big fight. Boom, boom. France lose this fight. They are forced to give all of Louisiana to Spain. But still, 250 years later, you can still hear the French that was Louisiana in America today. The capital of the state of Louisiana, Baton Rouge. French words mean red stick. The big city in Missouri, St. Louis, named after King Louis, King of France. The river that run all the way across your state is called by the Oto Indian, Nebraska Ke. That is where you get your name for your state. But that same river is called by the French, Platte. French word, mean flat. The city I live in, Bellevue, French words, mean beautiful view. The county seat of Sarpy County, you call in English, papillon. No, French word, papillon, mean butterfly. The capital of the state of South Dakota, Pierre, for Pierre Chateau, my French fur trading uncle. The capital of the state of Iowa, Des Moines, French word, mean the mounds. You know that today, the flag of the state of Iowa is the flag of France with the Iowa seal in the middle. Thank you, my map of the United States. But in the year 1800, Napoleon come to power in France. Napoleon, the short but mighty emperor, he go to his friend, the king of Spain. He say, you remember that land called Louisiana that France must give to Spain? King of Spain say, oui, I remember that. Napoleon say, I now have 100,000 soldiers on your Spanish border. I'm like in Spain to give that land called Louisiana back to France. Spanish king say, oui, I can do that. And once again, France is owning all Louisiana. Oh, but this caused big problem. Because in the meantime, America, they fight their war of independence from England. They pay big money to the king of Spain for the privilege to go up and down Mississippi River with American trade goods. Now, Spain have American money. Napoleon owned Mississippi River. What to do? Big problem always call for a big genius. The big genius in this case is President Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson, he speak to his friend, James Monroe. He tell James Monroe, go to Napoleon in France. Offer him $10 million for the privilege to go up and down Mississippi River and try to buy small port facility near New Orleans. James Monroe, he traveled to Napoleon, say, I am here from America. I am here to offer you $10 million for the privilege to go up and down Mississippi River. And I would like to buy small port facility around New Orleans. Napoleon's advisor said, Emperor Napoleon, psst, psst. Louisiana, too big. We don't have enough soldiers to guard it. To the east, Americans with guns. To the west, the Spanish with guns. To the north, the English in Canada with guns. All through Louisiana, big ugly snake, poison teeth. Big hairy animals, big teeth, big claws. Rawr. Wild, savage Indians, tomahawk, bow and arrow. We do not need Louisiana. Sell all Louisiana to the Americans for... Napoleon said to James Monroe, I sell you all Louisiana for $15 million. James Monroe said, that deal? Then James Monroe said, what I do? I spent $15 million. I'm only authorized to spend $10 million. He must go back and talk to Thomas Jefferson. Good. Monsieur President... We can now go up and down Mississippi River with American trade goods. Thomas Jefferson say, "Wee, that is good." He say, and now we own very large port facility around New Orleans. Thomas Jefferson say, "Wee, that is good." James Monroe say, I spend $15 million. Thomas Jefferson say, that is bad. He say, I told you only spend $10 million. He said, but Monsieur President, I buy all Louisiana for $15 million. Thomas Jefferson said, I don't care what you buy. He said, you buy all Louisiana for $15 million? Oui. Thomas Jefferson, very good with arithmetic. He said, that's only 3 pennies per acre. He said, that good deal, James Monroe. Someday you be president, huh? Thank you, Thomas Jefferson, third president of the United States. But Thomas Jefferson is not knowing how big Louisiana is. He called upon two explorers, Captain Meriwether Lewis and Captain William Clark, to go up Missouri River to make map of Louisiana territory, to make friends with the Indians, to see if there is a way to go from Missouri River to the Pacific Ocean by water. Clark and Louis leave St. Louis, the town that I, Peter A. Sarpy, am born in during their expedition. They travel up to a place not very far from where you are today, a place called Council Bluff. No Council Bluff, Iowa. They steal that name. Council Bluff here on this side of Missouri River. It is today a place you call Fort Calhoun, Nebraska. There, they make big powwow with the Oto Missouri Indians. They trade American trade goods. They see there is beaucoup fur. When they go back to St. Louis in the year 1806, they come back to St. Louis and say, oh, beaucoup buffalo, beaucoup elk, beaucoup deer, beaucoup beaver, beaucoup Indians eager to trade with white man. Soon, trading posts established all along the Missouri River, all the way to the Pacific Ocean. In the year 1823, I, Peter A. Sarpy, I leave my home in St. Louis, travel up the Missouri River at the age of 17, and I become the assistant agent of the American Fur Company Trading Post here in the Omaha area. 1 year later, I am the principal agent of the American Fur Company Trading Post in the Omaha and Bellevue area. As is the custom with all French fur traders, I take for myself a beautiful Indian wife. The name of my wife is Nokomi. In the Oto language, her name means the voice of the water. Nokomi assists me at the trading post. She teaches me the language of the Oto and Missouri Indians. When I am away from the trading post, Nokomi watches the store. Later, Nokomi would have two granddaughters. One is named Dr. Susan LaFleche Picot. Dr. Susan LaFleche Picot is the first Native American doctor in the entire United States. After she studied medicine in the East, she came back to Nebraska to administer to the medical needs of her Omaha Indian people. She established hospitals, wrote books about the Omaha Indian culture. Today, Picot School in Omaha, named after her. My wife, Nokomi, have other granddaughter. Her name, Suzette LaFleche Tibbles. Suzette LaFleche Tibbles is the official government interpreter at the Standing Bear Indian Trial, held here in Omaha. At this trial of Chief Standing Bear, chief of the Punky Indians, he is adjudged to be person under protection of the United States Constitution. No more can Indians be sent to reservation against their will. Today, Suzette LaFleche Tibbles is the only Native American woman to have her statue in the Nebraska Hall of Fame. Both granddaughters of my beautiful wife, Nokomi. At my trading post here in the Omaha area, I see I have a big problem. All my furs come to my trading post on this side of Missouri River. But the stagecoach that traveled between St. Joseph, Missouri, Caneville, later to be called Council Bluff, and Sioux City, Iowa, on that side of Missouri River. At this time in history, there is no bridge at any place across Missouri River. I think, how do I get my fur across that Missouri River to that stagecoach? Bing! Idea! I build a ferry boat. A ferry boat big enough to have one team of horses, one wagon drive upon the ferry boat. Ferry boat sail across the Missouri River. I unload my wagon of furs to the stagecoach. I pick up things to trade to the Indians, load them in my wagon, drive my wagon back upon the ferry boat, sail back across Missouri River, unload at my trading post. One day, Pioneer come. Pioneer driving covered wagon. The first Pioneer in a long line of Pioneer driving covered wagon. He say, Monsieur Sarpy, how much you charge me to take me across Missouri River one time with my horses and my wagon? I say, I don't charge you very much. I only charge $5. He say, $5? $5, a lot of money, go across the river one time. I say, Monsieur, this is Missouri River. Very deep, very swift, very dangerous. But you don't have to pay me $5. No. Perhaps you would like to go to St. Joseph, Missouri. They have ferry boat there. They take you across. Or perhaps Perhaps you would like to travel 5 days this way to Sioux City, Iowa. They have a ferry boat there. They will take you across. Still, they're going to charge you $5 to go across the river one time. He said, I don't pay that kind of money. I swim my wagon across there. Yeah, giddy up. The horses go down into the mud, down into the sand of the Missouri River. The wagon wheels roll forward into the mud, into the sand. Soon the horses are swimming up to their neck in the water. The wagon wheels roll forward. The force of the Missouri River hit the wagon from the side. Ah! The wagon is tipped over. All the man's possession dumped in Missouri River. The horses, tangled in the reins, drown. And the pioneer? Hat, floating toward St. Joe. You see, in the 1840s, not many people know how to make swim, huh? The second wagon in line say, Monsieur Sarpy, here, take my money. I want to go across the river on your Peter Sarpy ferry boat. In 1 year, I make $5,000 taking Pioneer across Missouri River on the Peter A. Sarpy ferry boat. And at this time in history, there are beaucoup pioneers who want to go across Missouri River because of a faraway land called Oregon. Because of a special treaty between England, Spain, Russia, America, they say Oregon is free country. Let the people go to Oregon. When enough people go there, they can vote to belong to England, Spain, Russia, or America. The American politicians, very much smarter in those days than they are today, they know England very far away, Russia very far away, Spain very far away. But in America, you have immigrants who come from all countries. Immigrants who come to America for freedom. Immigrants who come to America for land. People who have never owned their own land before in their life. People whose family have never owned their own land before in their life. The government say, free land in Oregon. Go to Oregon for free land. By the hundreds they come. By the thousand they come. They come to the Missouri River and they say, how we get across that Missouri River to all that free land in Oregon, huh? Ha, bonjour, my friends. Welcome to a new and beautiful land. I am Peter A. Sarpy. I have a boat. Business at my ferry boat becomes so good, I hire an assistant. His name, Stephen Decatur. Decatur, Nebraska is named after him today. One day, Stephen Decatur yelled up to me at the ferry boat. Say, Peter, come look. What is it, Stephen? He said, come, look across the river. I go down to the bank of the Missouri River. I look across. There on the other side are 3, maybe 2,000 pioneers. I say, Stephen, who are all those pioneers? He said, I'm not knowing. I said, take me across the river. We get into the ferry boat. We go across the Missouri River. And there, 3, maybe 2,000 pioneers. Sick pioneer. Tired pioneer. Hungry pioneer. I look at one woman holding Babby sick, crying, nose running, fever. I look inside one of the wagons. Inside the wagon, grandmama, wrapped in blanket, dead, no time to bury. I look around, I see 200 barefoot hungry children, so hungry they are pulling grass to put in their empty belly. I say, who are these people? One man, stand up. He say, my name is Brigham Young. These are the saints. Because of our Mormon religion, we have been persecuted in Illinois, persecuted in Missouri, persecuted in Ohio, persecuted in New York. And now we have traveled all winter across Iowa, and we are going to our new home in Utah. You see, are you crazy? Look at these people. They are too sick, too tired, too hungry to travel west. Besides, this is the month of June. To travel west along the Platte River, like the Oregon Trail, you must travel in March or April when the new spring grass is growing green for your animals to eat. If you go now in June, the summer sun will turn this green grass brown. Your animals cannot eat. They will starve to death. Your people will be walking over the mountains in the winter. The snow will come. They will all be killed. You cannot go. He said, we have no place else to go. Oh, this big problem. Big problem always call for big genius. I call upon my friend, Chief Big Elk, chief of the Omaha Indians. Chief Big Elk say, the white man have been very good to the Omaha Indian people. No Omaha Indian has ever taken the blood of a white man. If these are good people and they need assistance, they can come across the Missouri River, live on Omaha Indian land. We will help them find food, help them build shelter, and then in the spring, when they are strong, they can go west to Utah. Brigham Young say, why, thank you, Chief Big Elk. But how do I get my wagons across that Missouri River? Bonjour, my friend. Welcome to a new and beautiful land. I am Peter A. Sarpy. I have a boat. He say, how much you charge me to take one wagon across river one time? I say, I don't charge you very much. I look at the woman with the sick baby. Sick baby, silent, limp, dead. I don't charge you very much. I look at the man taking the dead grandmama from the wagon, digging grave. I look at the barefoot, hungry, sick children. You see, the Mormon, they are not like the Oregon Trail pioneer, the strong farmer who want to go west. They are refugees. All their people in Illinois from their city travel across Iowa in the winter. Many become very sick. Many died. Many are buried not far from where you are today. I say, there is no charge, my friend. Welcome to a new and beautiful land. Thank you, Brigham Young, Chief of the Mormons. It is, I believe, 1 year after I meet Monsieur Brigham Young that another pioneer, he is a carpenter. He is living in California, where he has just built a big water wheel to catch the waters of the American River in California. This water wheel will turn the machinery to turn the logs into lumber, to turn the wheat into flour. After Monsieur James Marshall has built this big water wheel, he is washing his hands in the American River. He finds something very small, very tiny, very heavy. He said, gold. He does not say it very loud. But people in Canada, people in Ohio, people in South Carolina, people in Connecticut, people in Ireland, people in Italy, people in Norway, people in Sweden, people in Russia, people in Germany say, gold! They discovered gold in California. Go to California. Reach down into the streams. Pick up nuggets big as your fist. Become a rich man in one day. Go to California for free gold. By the hundreds they come. By the 1,000 they come. By the 10,000 they come. They come to the Missouri River. They say, how we get across that Missouri River to all that free gold in California? Ha, bonjour, my friend. Welcome to a new and beautiful land. I am Peter A. Sarpy. I have a boat. I even sell them maps to the best gold fields in California. Though I've never been to California myself. Soon there are so many people crossing Kansas and Nebraska on the Oregon Trail, on the Mormon Trail, on the California Gold Rush Trail. They say, so many people crossing Kansas, Nebraska. Perhaps it is time for Kansas and Nebraska to become territory. Oh, this become big problem. Because at this time, America is divided north and south. In the South, they have slavery. In the North, slavery is mostly illegal. The politicians in the South. They say, oh, no, we not let Kansas-Nebraska become territory because under the terms of Missouri Compromise of 1820, no more slave states can be made out of what used to be Louisiana Territory after the state of Missouri. If we let Kansas and Nebraska become territory, soon they would become state. Soon they would become free state. They would vote away all of our slaves. We know that happen. No. Oh. This big problem. Big problem always call for big genius. The big genius in this case is a very short man. His name, Stephen A. Douglas, senator from Illinois. He talked to his friend, Louis Cass, senator from Michigan, and his other friend, August Caesar Dodge, senator from Iowa. Today, Douglas County, Nebraska, Dodge County, Nebraska, Cass County, Nebraska are named after these three people. They get together, they say, oh, how do we make those hard-headed Southerners vote yes for Kansas and Nebraska to become territory? A.C. Dodge say, I am not knowing, Stephen. This big problem, I think. Ding! Idea! Stephen Douglas say, I have the answer. It is popular sovereignty. A.C. Dodge. Louis Cass say, oh, that good answer, Stephen. What is that popular sovereignty? He say, America is democracy. Let the people go to Kansas. Let the people go to Nebraska. When enough people go there, they can vote to be free state or slave state. Louis Cass say, I tell my friends in the South about this plan of yours, Stephen. He go and talk to the Southern politicians. He say, how about we have popular sovereignty? The Southern politicians say, whoopee! This good idea. You see, Kansas, Missouri, right next to each other, Missouri slave state. The slave owners of Missouri say, I will send my son across the border into Kansas, vote yes for slavery. I will send my cousin across the border into Kansas, vote yes for slavery. I will send all my friends across the border into Kansas, vote yes for slavery. I may even go across the border into Kansas, vote yes, 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 three times for slavery myself, huh? Oh. But Louis Cass, A.C. Dodge, Stephen Douglas have big secret. All those people who have been going west on the Oregon Trail, the Mormon Trail, the California Gold Rush Trail, they have been writing letters. Letters to their friends back in the old country. Letters to their family back in the old country. Letters to the newspapers back in the old country. They say, oh, America, big, beautiful land. Much land for everyone. Freedom. Soil, so fertile. Throw seeds down on the ground. They grow into big crops. Come to America. The government say, free land in Kansas and Nebraska. Come to Kansas and Nebraska for free land. By the hundreds they come. By the thousand they come. By the 10,000 they come. They come to the Missouri River. They say, how we get across the Missouri River with all that free land in Nebraska? Bonjour, my friends. Welcome to a new and beautiful land. I am Peter A. Sarpy. I have a boat. So many people coming to Kansas, Nebraska, it's becoming a territory. I know that they will need capital city for that territory. I, Peter A. Sarpy, I write a letter to the man who will be the first governor. His name, Francis Burt. Burt Street in Omaha, named after him. Burt County in Nebraska, named after him. Francis Burt traveled by steamboat, by horse and buggy. He traveled all the way to Bellevue. I meet him at my ferry boat. I say, ah, bonjour, monsieur, governor-to-be. Welcome to a new and beautiful land. You will make Bellevue the capital of Nebraska Territory, huh? He said, I do not feel very good. I want to sit down. I say, oui, monsieur, governor-to-be. But when you are feeling better, you will make Bellevue the capital of Nebraska Territory, huh? He said, do not talk to me about this today. Talk to me about this tomorrow. But tomorrow, he's still very sick. The next day, still very sick. Finally, 8 days after Francis Burt arrived in Nebraska Territory, he raised his hand and is sworn in as the first governor of Nebraska Territory. 2 days later, become the first dead governor of Nebraska Territory. This big problem. Territory no have lieutenant governor like you have today, as if something should ever happen to your governor. But if it did, lieutenant governor become governor. But territory only have secretary of the territory. Secretary of Nebraska Territory is only 26 year old. His name, Thomas Cumming. Thomas Cumming, only 26 year old, but he is a graduate of the University of Michigan. A graduate of the University of Michigan, number one in his class. A graduate of the University of Michigan, number one in his class, at the age of 16. But Thomas Cumming come to Nebraska from Iowa. His Iowa friends across the river say, oh, Thomas Cumming, oh, they're going to tell you to make Bellevue the capital of Nebraska Territory. No, 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 no. We here in Council Bluff, we own much land across the river in Omaha City. If Omaha City were to become capital, that land becomes very valuable. We give you some of that land. Oh, you become very rich. If Omaha City is named as capital, his other friends say, oh, Thomas Cumming, I hear you have no place to live. Come, live in the finest hotels of Council Bluff. We will pay for the bill. If you make Omaha City the capital of Nebraska Territory, Thomas Cumming say, Omaha City, that could be good capital, I think. Hi, Peter A. Sarpin say, Omaha City, are you crazy? Omaha City, no city at all. Omaha City only have 12 wooden buildings. 7 of them are saloon. 5 of them have the ooh-la-la dancing girls working in them. What am I saying? That is exactly what the legislators are wanting in a capital. Omaha City become the first capital of Nebraska Territory. This is very displeasing to pioneer papa, pioneer mama who live further to the west. They say 2/3 of all the people in Nebraska Territory live south of the Platte River. No bridges across the Platte River. Very difficult to go across Platte River to do business in Omaha. Omaha is all the way to the east of Nebraska Territory. We have to travel 6, 7, 8 days to travel to the capital to do business. We want the capital further to the west, south of the Platte River. The Omaha politicians, they're wanting to keep the capital right in Omaha City. They say, bing, idea. Oh, you're wanting a capital further to the west, south of the Platte River. There's a little village called Lancaster. It is 50 miles to the west of Omaha, south of the Platte River. Of course, there are no roads that go to Lancaster. No railroad is planning to build to Lancaster. No big river near Lancaster, so no steamboat can ever go to Lancaster. But if you want that as your capital, you can have that. Pioneer papa, pioneer mama say. No roads, no railroad, no steamboat. At least it's 15 miles to the west of Omaha, south of the Platte River. We take that capital called Lancaster. You know my politicians say, oh, did I not tell you? We don't call it Lancaster no more. We call it by brand new name, a name after our glorious president, Abraham Lincoln. People south of the Platte River, they hear the name Lincoln, spit on the ground. Lincoln, that Republican troublemaker who caused civil war, who caused United States to be torn into Union and Confederacy, who caused brother to kill brother. We do not want capital named after that terrible person, Abraham Lincoln. No. The Omaha politicians say, well, in that case, we are just keeping the capital right here in Omaha City. When? Bang! Shot fired. Ford Theater, Washington, D.C. April 15th, a day you know as Tax Day. But on that April 15th of 1865, President Abraham Lincoln paid the greatest tax a man can pay for his country. All the people across the country, they are weeping. They say, oh, Abraham Lincoln, he was killed on Good Friday. He is the savior of this country. He put the country together again after the Civil War. He made the country true democracy by freeing the people of color in the South. Nebraska will become the first new state admitted into the United States after Abraham Lincoln's death. How appropriate we should have a capital named after our fallen hero, Abraham Lincoln. You're my politician. Wait. I am thinking about a new name for a capital. How about we call Beaver Crossing? Too late. Vote upon Lincoln. Become the new capital of the new state of Nebraska. First state to be admitted into the United States after Abraham Lincoln's death. But I, Peter A. Sarpy, Nebraska pioneer, fur trader, the man who helped so many people cross the river, on January 5th of that same year, 1865, I have the widest of all river to cross myself. And the voice on the other side say, welcome, Peter, to a new and truly beautiful land.
Thank you, Peter Sarpy, also known as Daryl Draper. Daryl is the most requested performer from among the 200 scholars, authors, and historians who comprise the Speakers Bureau of the Nebraska Humanities Council. So, anything you also wanted to know about that era, or Peter Sarpy, or Daryl Draper, there's paper and pencil at your tables, so write down any questions that you might have, and we will ask them of Daryl. Go ahead.
While you're jotting, there's just one post note that Bellevue wanted to be the capital. Peter Sarpy had the skids greased for Bellevue to be the capital. Bellevue was the biggest territorial city. It was the oldest city. And Francis Burt was conducive to having Bellevue named as the capital. But Thomas Cumming made Omaha the capital. Bellevue wouldn't let go. Every legislature argued where the capital should be. Finally, in 1857, the legislature decided to divide Douglas County, which Bellevue was a part of, in half. They gave the bottom half to Bellevue, said, here, rename it as anything you want. They named it after Peter A. Sarpy. Out of 93 counties in Nebraska today, Sarpy County is the smallest in land area because it's only the bottom half of what used to be one of the original territorial counties.
What was it like during that era from the standpoint of, amenities, public facilities, that kind of thing? I mean, was this a terrifically hard life that Peter Sarpy went through?
My beautiful wife, was it a hard life? My beautiful wife, Nakomi, her main job during the winter was to cut down cottonwood trees with a two-handed axe and strip all the bark off the cottonwood trees to feed that inner bark to the horses for the wintertime. So as long as the women were doing, I guess it was easy enough. kept her out of mischief.
Was Peter Sarpy a popular person in Bellevue?
Peter Sarpy was a very popular person. They made him because he had a trading post, and he also had a grist mill, and he would grind up corn and make whiskey out of the corn. It was after 1834, it was illegal to sell or trade whiskey to the Indians in Nebraska. It wasn't even in Nebraska territory at that time. It was Indian country. He had to have a special permit. He was married to an Omaha Indian girl, so he had permission to live in the territory. Unless you were a Métis, half Indian, half white, you couldn't live in Indian country. But over in Iowa, you could trade whiskey to the Indians. Not west of the Missouri River, but on that side of the river, you could trade whiskey. To stay in business, Peter Sarpy traded whiskey to the Indians. The Baptist missionaries who settled in there just west of Bellevue, they would come up to Peter Sarpy and says, "Mr. Sarpy, we are trying to keep whiskey out of the hands of the Indians. It makes them crazy. It ruins their morals. You should stop selling whiskey to the Indians." And Peter Sarpy says, "I am in the fur business. My job is to trade for furs. If the Indians come to me and want to trade for furs and I have not whiskey to trade to them, they go across the river to Iowa and trade for furs for whiskey there. It is my job to trade for furs. It is your job to control the morals of the Indian. You do your job, I do mine."
Was he did he become an especially rich man, build a big mansion, that kind of thing?
No big mansion, but he accumulated a wealth at death of $90,000, which is about $2.3 million in today's money. And he provided for his wife, Nokomi, in his will, $200 a year for the rest of her life.
How old was he when he died?
He was 59 years old when he died. How many grew up remembering Sarpy County license plates, 59 County? Pure coincidence. But interesting coincidence. The reason it was 59 County is because in 1920 they assigned license plate numbers by the number of registered automobiles in the county. Sarpy County was almost wiped out when Bellevue was made the capital. People disassembled their log cabins and moved into Omaha because the road went past Bellevue. There was no bridge at Bellevue to come across. So there was no incentive for people to live in Bellevue. I think Bellevue's population in 1900 was only like 600 people. So when they went down the list of registered automobiles, Sarpy County ranked 59th. Of course, Douglas County ranked first, Lancaster County second. Today, of course, Sarpy County ranks third in population of all the Nebraska counties. Peter Sarpy never had any children himself. He had stepchildren. Nokomi had a very interesting story in her own. She was married to John Gale, no relation to the current Secretary of the State of Nebraska. John Gale was a cavalry surgeon, and he married Nokomi, had five children by Nokomi, but he knew he couldn't take Nokomi with the children back and live among the Western pioneer villages because she would be shunned because she was half Indian. So he tells Peter Sarpy, "I'm going to go and get discharged from the army, and I'm going to come back and live with Nokomi. But if anything should happen to me, I want you to promise me that you will take care of her for me." He went to get his discharge papers. He caught a disease and died. So Peter Sarpy fulfilled his promise to Nokomi, and Nokomi's children were like his own children. And several of them married employees of the ferry boat company.
You know, talking about the ferry boat, was there a bridge across by the time he died?
By the time he died, there wasn't a bridge across the Missouri River until I believe the railroad bridge was built in 1879. You know, we always say that May 14th, 1869, when they drove the Golden Spike, that it connected the West Coast to the East Coast. Well, not actually so. They come to the Missouri River and they say, "How we get across that Missouri River to Council Bluff, huh?" And they had barge ferry boats that they load the train on, and they would steam the train cars across. It wasn't until the late 1870s before a railroad bridge was established across the Missouri River to really make that a nonstop transcontinental link.
Did he, that ferry boat service, and you talked about all of the people who came across during the westward migration. I mean, did that slow at some point and he went on to other business interests? Sounds like the ferry boat was number one with him.
It provided a lot of income for him, but in 1857, right after Sarpy County was established, there was a national panic on the banks. All the banks in Nebraska, except for the one in Nebraska City, failed, and they'd used trickery to keep from failing. But Peter Sarpy's bank failed. All those paper banknotes, such as the one that I held, this is a copy the Fontenelle Bank of Bellevue, which was started by Peter Sarpy and his brother and three others. They had issued these banknotes. They were supposed to issue banknotes for gold and keep gold on deposit in their bank and issue the banknotes, and you could trade, you know, at the local merchant. And then when you wanted your gold to move on someplace else, you brought your banknotes and you traded them back in for gold, and you went on. Well, it was the habit of the banks that, since there wasn't much gold in Nebraska, to take deeds of land and say, well, that land is worth $100. Here, we'll hold the deed of land in trust. We'll give you this $100. When you bring the $100 back, we'll give you the deed back. Well, after that panic of 1857, no one was buying land for a quarter an acre in Nebraska. People bought land from the railroad and went out to the East Coast to sell it. None of the East Coast bankers wanted land in the Great American Desert. So Peter Sarpy's bank failed. He lost his popularity there in Bellevue. All these people holding what they thought was valuable money and turned into fire starter or toilet paper. And so he moved to Plattsmouth and started a mill there. He tried to start a ferry boat in Plattsmouth, but a guy from Glenwood, Iowa, already had the license to do the ferry boat. And the Mormons, after his initial free gift across the river, he started charging the Mormons. So the Mormons built their own ferry boat at a place today where the Mormon Bridge stands. And the Mormon Mill is up there in that vicinity. So the Mormons operated their own ferry boat, and it went out west and operated ferry boats likewise across the Platte River at several deep water Platte River crossings out in western Nebraska.
The Missouri River at that time, during his era, was much different than what we see today, right?
Oh, the Missouri River ran anywhere it wanted to between the bluffs of Nebraska and the bluffs of Iowa. And if you've driven up I-29, you can see that sometimes those bluffs are 6-7 miles across. The Missouri River was a braided river, much like the Platte River, with many islands in the middle, lots of snags and logs sticking in. It wasn't until after the floods of the 1920s that the Corps of Engineers was directed to channel and harness the Missouri River.
When was the Omaha Capitol built? Can you give us a little history?
The Omaha Capitol, it wasn't first built. It was down 10th and about 10th and Farnham Street. And it was just an existing house that they had down there. And then the Omaha businessman said, we have a great deal for the territory. You need a new Capitol building. That one that's down there by the river isn't adequate. We will float a bond among the citizens of Omaha and build you a Capitol building, the one that is on the site of Central High School today. They built that Capitol building. That was about in 1858-59 that they built that, and they moved the Capitol there. Well, when people in the West were saying, oh, Omaha's too far away, give us the Capitol further to the West, they said, oh, okay, we'll do that. We'll move the Capitol west to Lancaster and rename it Lincoln. Omaha businessmen said, oh, not so fast there. We have a several million-dollar bond that that we passed to build that Capitol building with the agreement if you change the Capitol, the territory would have to pay Omaha back for those bonds for that Capitol building. The territory didn't have the money to pay Omaha back, so that kept the Capitol clear till after the Civil War. And then right around 1865, the decision was finally made by the legislature to move west.
Can you suggest some books detailing the history of our area?
Oh, boy. Of course, J. Sterling Morton wrote A History of Nebraska it's a two-volume set, and it's kind of a foundation of history. But La Belle Vue is a book that was written by the Bellevue Historical Society. Now then it's the Sarpy County Historical Society, that they list all the fur traders that lived here in this area. And you have to remember that even Lewis and Clark identified this as a key trading area, because if you were a fur trader and you went west to all the way to the Rocky Mountains and you got lost, if you followed any stream, it would eventually take you past Omaha or Bellevue, because all the streams flowed, you know, west of the Missouri River, flowed toward the Yellowstone, which flows into Missouri, the Platte, which flows into Missouri. So by being at the Omaha-Bellevue area, you were always had a chance at the furs of all the fur traders coming back east to sell their furs. And later, instead of making the fur traders come back east, Missouri Fur Trading Company was sending caravans of wagons full of gunpowder, whiskey, trading materials in covered wagons out to meet the fur traders in rendezvous. And a set of missionaries from New England traveled with one of those fur trader rendezvous caravans, and then went on west to the area of Walla Walla, Washington, and they wrote letters proving that white women and white men could cross the mountains to the west coast. And that began the Oregon Trail from those fur trader wagon tracks that guided the people west.
What about Peter Sarpy's French ancestry? Sarpy doesn't sound to me to be a French name.
It is. And his father, Beryl Sarpy, and his mother, Pelagie Sarpy, they were of the Choteau family, or his mother was, of the Choteau family of St. Louis. There's two different accounts. One account says both of his parents were born in France. The other account says they were born in Louisiana. No one's been able to determine which account is absolutely correct. But he wrote French in his journals. At the time of Peter Sarpy was growing up, and right after the Louisiana Purchase, 90% of the people in St. Louis spoke French. The other about 5% spoke English, and 5% spoke Spanish. A Spanish viceroy was in charge until that Spanish king told Napoleon that he could have Louisiana back. He never told the Spanish viceroy, so when Lewis and Clark got there and said, hey, Napoleon sold this to him, he said, well, I got news for you. Napoleon doesn't own this. The King of Spain owns this. He said, oh, well, King of Spain gave it to Napoleon. So he wouldn't do that. Well, he did, and so it took from November till March to get that straightened out so that the flag of Spain would come down in St. Louis, and people in St. Louis were mostly French. They said, you know, since it went from Spain to France to America, couldn't the flag of France fly over our city one more time? The city had been founded by Frenchmen. They, you know, they're outnumbered about 3,000 to 1. They said, yeah, I guess we could do that. So the flag of France goes up, and they said, can we stay up overnight? He says, yeah, we can stay up overnight. Next morning, the flag of France comes down. The flag of America goes up. So in one 24-hour period, the flag of Spain, France, and America flew over the city of St. Louis.
Just a couple more quick questions.
Sure.
We're about done. Where was Traders Point?
Traders Point is now down in the area of Fontenelle Forest, Gifford Farm area down there. Because the river has changed several times, it's been a question that's been challenged several times exactly where Traders Point was. But it was down there in the vicinity of the Bellevue Bridge today.
And you mentioned the money and how it didn't hold up in Bellevue, Peter Sarpy's bank. When did the U.S. develop its own paper money, which must have added a lot of stability to the system? Do you remember?
Yeah, I think it was, I can't say for certain, but it's right around the time of Abraham Lincoln. I think the Federal Treasury said, hey, we're the only one that's going to be issuing these notes. Up until then, everybody issued their own banknotes in their local area.
Daryl Draper, thank you very much.
Thank you. Merci.
Also, thank you to our participants in our program today, to our audience here at the Press Club, KIOS. Thank you all for coming, and we are adjourned.
You've been listening to a luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club. Today's speaker was Omaha actor Daryl Draper, who has portrayed fur trader, ferry boat operator, newspaper man, and banker Peter Sarpy. This program was recorded by KIOS-FM on Thursday, September 20th, 2007, for broadcast at this time. Special thanks to the Omaha Press Club's Education Committee for helping to make the recording and broadcast of this program possible. The Omaha Press Club presents these noontime educational forums each month. The next forum will be held on Thursday, October 18th at 12 noon. At that time, we'll hear a panel discussion on the topic, The Mean Streets of Omaha, Combating the Violence. If you'd like to attend this or other future programs in the series, call the Omaha Press Club at 345-8008. These events are open to both members and non-members of the Omaha Press Club. The Omaha Press Club is located on the 22nd floor of the First National Center, 16th and Dodge, in downtown Omaha. Complete noon forum listings are available on the Internet. Visit our website at kios.org. Now, this is your producer and host, Bob Cote, thanking you for listening.